Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to Blount Springs Baptist Church. We lift up our voices and praise our Savior this morning. Amen.
The power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless and all in wonder, the King of glory.
Praise the name of the Lord this morning.
There's a land that is fairer than rain. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there.
Come on, sing it out.
In the sweet by and by, we shall be. Sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
To our back
that'll be.
Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be in verses 13 and 14 as Chris read for us earlier today. Let me start off with a little, let me paint a picture for you guys as we start, and I'm going to come back to this picture time and time again, Lord willing. Last year, a little while back, my mom and Mike decided they wanted to get into the farming business, and they needed a pasture, and or they had a pasture, sorry. They needed a fence for this farming business, and so we spent some time and built a fence all the way around the pasture. Well, when you go down their driveway, the first gate that you come to on that driveway is one of those big gates, you know, that you can actually drive through. So that's the first gate that you come to in the pasture. And the pasture, if you're not careful to notice, it's split, and this front section is secluded inside that. That big gate doesn't go in there. In order to go in there, you have to go all the way around, go on down the driveway, all the way around, and there's a little narrow gate, a small gate, a walk-through gate that's over there by the barn, and you have to go through that walk-through gate to get to the front pasture. So I want y'all to remember that today, because Jesus is going to be talking to us about wide gates and narrow gates. He gives us a vivid and simple illustration to evaluate our own lives with this morning. This sermon is not just for somebody who has never believed and professed Christ. It is not. This sermon is for every single one of us, because it has applications across it. If nothing else, if today you say, well, I believe in Jesus, I'm following Jesus, I've walked through that narrow gate, I'm just going to check out. Don't check out. Because we can use this to help and lead other people to the narrow gate today. Jesus' last words stopped me in my track in verse 14. He says, and there are few who find it. I don't like that. That bothers me. I don't want there to be few to find the narrow gate. I want heaven to be crowded. Does anybody else want heaven to be crowded? I want to see a great multitude of souls that'll spend eternity with God in heaven. That's what I want. If we want more people to find the narrow gate, I think we've got to learn what is keeping them from it. First thing we're going to do is we're going to take a look at what Jesus says, and then I have three things that are keeping people from it. But at verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. I'm going to break this down really quickly. I love it. It's super simple. I can see it. It's visual. It's right here on the top for us. We have one command in the very beginning. What is it? Enter. There's the command right out of the, right, not being cliche, right out of the gate. One command, enter through the narrow gate. That means to go. That means to step. That means to walk. That means to move forward. Jesus is telling us to move forward through the narrow gate. And I know you guys have walked through gates. This is so easy to understand. You unlatch it, you open it, and you walk through it. And the narrow gate is the one Jesus is commanding us to walk through. Two gates exist, or objects. The narrow gate. Hear this. If you don't hear anything else, who is the narrow gate? What is the narrow gate? Jesus Christ is the narrow gate. Please don't forget that as we move through this sermon. Jesus Christ is the narrow gate. What is the wide gate? The wide gate is unbelief. The wide gate is the opening of destruction. He gives us the characteristics of the path to destruction. It starts with a wide gate. The wide gate that's easy to walk through. It's easy to find and identify. He says the way is broad. That means there's plenty of room. No obstacles. It's paved. Nothing to get in your way. And Jesus says many enter through it. That means that if you go through the wide gate, you're going to have some company along with you. There's going to be a crowd walking down the wide road past the wide gate. You're going to have plenty of support. You have lots of people to help you along as you walk down that wide road to destruction. I've experienced that. I can always find somebody to support me in my sin, always. Let's talk about the path to life. The gate is small. What does that mean? It's hard to pass through. You can't just get everything through this gate. It's smaller. It's harder to find. And if you're not careful, you'll think that this gate is less significant because it's smaller than the wide gate. The way is narrow. On a narrow way, I know many of you have been hiking or gone through trails or different things when the underbrush is closed in. It's hard to walk side by side. It's hard to get a big old group down a small trail. If you've ever tracked a deer in Privet Hedge, you understand what that may look like. You got to pay attention to where you're going. Obstructions, trees, rocks, all kinds of things along the way and limiting the width of the path. And then the number, few who find it. It brings along feelings of loneliness, maybe isolation. Christianity can be lonely. Sometimes it's just you and the Holy Spirit. I'm sure you've experienced that. Few will find it. Luke 13:23-24, Jesus said, and someone said to him, to Jesus, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Jesus did not directly address this question. They said, are there just a few who are being saved? He just said, he didn't say, well, there'll be five, or there'll be 10, or there'll be 100, 100,000, a million, a billion. He didn't say that. He immediately turns it and gives them instructions to strive to go through the narrow gate. I don't know how many are going to be saved. If it were up to me, I'd say everybody, let's all go. But it's not up to me. But it's up to me to tell the truth this morning, and that's what I plan to do. And my heart is for people to hear the truth this morning. If somebody came in here not believing, not walking through the narrow gate, not choosing Jesus, that this will be the last day you could say that. Why do so few people find the narrow gate? That's when I was studying this week, that was my big, bold question that I put as I was making my notes. Why do so few people find the narrow gate? Because that's what I want to know. I want to know. And so I've based this upon that one question, the rest of the sermon. So why do so few people find the narrow gate? One, because they believe Jesus is not the only way. Many people today believe there are countless ways to God. Many paths lead to God. That's a very popular belief in our world today. This is not a popular sermon in our world today. They say, be a good person, do good things, pick a spiritual path, you'll be fine. Because all roads really lead to God. This belief sounds compassionate. It sounds loving. It sounds reasonable. It's comforting. But you know what the problem is? There's one big problem. Jesus completely disagrees. Jesus does not agree that all paths lead to him. And believing there are many ways is the quickest way to miss the one way. Imagine somebody standing at the wide gate. Remember when you're driving down the driveway there, in the illustration I gave you earlier, the first gate is the wide one. If you were standing at that gate, if you weren't paying close attention, you would look at the big pasture. And you would think, well, I'm wanting to go in the pasture. I'm already at this gate. I'll just go in it. It's easy. It's right here. I can move freely and not have a worry squeezing through. They would think, of course this is the right way. Why wouldn't it be? And while they were standing at that wide gate that goes in the pasture, if they glanced over across the pasture closer to the house and they saw that narrow gate, they'd be like, why would I walk all the way, rest of the way down the driveway, down the yard, and go all the way down there and choose that little gate that's smaller, that's going to be harder to get to, when I can just walk through this one right here? Well, I'm going to tell you. If you want to get in the pasture nearest the house, it doesn't matter how reasonable that big gate looks to you. It ain't going to take you in there. Scripture clearly teaches only one way to life, only one way to Jesus. I'm going to give you three of them. John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Not I am the doors. Not I am one of the doors. I am the door. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. That's really clear. How do we get to the Father? There's one way. Who is it through? Jesus Christ. Third one, Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. So what is the one name, the one door, the one gate that we can be saved by? Jesus Christ. I don't know where the confusion lies. If we're reading the Bible and we're believing what it says, it's right here. It says there is one way, and that way is Jesus Christ, the narrow gate. There are not many gates that lead to God. There is one, and it's Him. It's Jesus Christ. So here's what I want to ask you as we conclude this first point today. Do I really believe Jesus is the only way? As I come to church this morning, do I believe that Jesus is the only way, or is my mind filled with other possibilities? Am I still on the do-good train? Am I still on the be-a-good-person train? Am I on the Jesus Plus plan? And if you are, today you need to reject that and enter through the narrow way, Jesus Christ. Otherwise, and I'm not looking down on you, you may have adopted the world's belief that there are many paths. That it's if you just choose one of them, you're going to get there. You may have believed that. But this morning, I call you away from it through the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to reject that and to choose Jesus as the only way, because He said He was the only one. Don't miss the narrow gate because you can't rationalize that there could only be one way. It's about faith, and my faith is in Jesus, and Jesus saying that He is the only way. Why do so few people find the gate, narrow gate? Because the wide gate is more attractive. It's a beautiful gate. Let's be honest. The wide gate oftentimes looks better, don't it? It's easy. It's open. It's comfortable. You don't have to slow down. You don't have to change. You don't have to leave any sins behind. You don't have to deny yourself. Those are some of the exact reasons why people choose it. Well, I've chosen it sometimes. People assume the wide gate must be right. It's got to be right. It's popular. The wide gate is popular. Look at all the people. There's so many people. And popularity leads us to make decisions. Whenever I buy something on Amazon and I'm down between two products, oftentimes the product that I buy is the one that most everybody else has bought. I think, well, it has to be great. Look at how many people have bought this. I'm going to buy it too. That's popularity buys. But guess what? I've bought some things that y'all have bought that were terrible. And I don't know that y'all didn't leave a review. You should have left a review at least to let me know that you bought it. It was terrible. But popularity is not the way for us to make decisions. Because it's crowded. How many times have you elected to go somewhere or not go somewhere because of how many people were going? I'm not going to go to that concert. Nobody's going to be there. I mean, they didn't even sell any tickets. I'm not, oh, the show must be terrible because it's not crowded. Also not a reason to make a decision. People assume the wide gate must be right because it doesn't confront their sin. I won't have to feel bad. And a lot of times I think it's just because it lets you come as you are, exactly as you are, because that's the teaching of the world today. You be you. You do you. I'm going to do me. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. And if to go through the wide gates, you can continue to believe that garbage. But that's what it is. It's garbage. It's a lie of the devil. Jesus says the broad and easy road that feels right is the wrong one. Going back to that gate, again, it's the first one, it's the biggest one. When you get to that gate, you don't even have to get out of the pickup truck to drive through it. If that gate is open, you can just swing and you can drive through it. You haven't got to get out. You don't have to lift a finger. You can go as fast as you want through to it. There's no trouble. It looks good. It's like, man, this is where I want to go. Just stay in your seat. Put it in drive and roll on through. Most people pick that gate without thinking twice. Because it's the path of least resistance. But here's the truth. The wide gate takes you further away from the house. You don't think about that. But when you go through that wide gate, there's a fence. Another fence that runs all the way down it. And you got to go all the way down that fence. And you got to go all the way through the pasture. And around the barn. And guess what? There's no part of that fence, barn, property that'll get you close to the house. But if you don't look close, you think this is the one. This is the one I'm going to choose. I'm not going to go all the way over there, that narrow gate. I'll eventually get there. It feels right. The wide gate is attractive because your flesh loves it. Isn't that true? Doesn't our flesh love that wide gate? Oh, it's good. It's attractive. It looks good. And guess who else? Guess why we also choose that wide gate? Because the world is right behind us. Attaboy. Look at it. You're doing good. Proud of yourself. You're being you. You're being like us. You're not making us feel bad. Come on in here. The water is fine. But remember, an easy path is not the indicator of the right one. And popularity does not always indicate the truth. Don't allow a wide gate to keep you from the narrow one. Why do so few people find the narrow gate? Third reason, because they do not believe in destruction, whether temporal or eternal. Many people today don't take destruction seriously. When I was a kid, I think more people really were scared of hell. I mean, I really do. Like today, I don't know that people are even thinking about it or anything. Another thing is people don't really believe that sin destroys anything today, much less put their minds to thinking about eternal destruction. Jesus removes all doubt. The gate is wide. The way is broad that leads to destruction. Destruction is not symbolic. It's not imagined. It's not exaggerated. It is sobering, and it's the final outcome of rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, refusing to believe in Him and walking through the narrow gate. Here's what destruction is in 2 Thessalonians 1:9. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. And here's what destruction is: away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. So destruction is eternal separation from God, eternal separation from anything that is good. Not how I want to spend eternity. Why is the wide gate so attractive that it trumps promise of destruction? Because it doesn't require repentance. You don't have to turn around. It doesn't restrict your desires. It doesn't confront your lifestyle. It doesn't demand discipleship. Symptoms of a lacking fear of destruction. Here's some quotes. I'm a good person. Didn't God say none is good? But they'll say it. I'm a good person. Or, one of my favorites, God wouldn't send me to hell. Partially true. Do you know who does? You. If you say this morning, I can't believe God would send anybody to hell. He couldn't send me to hell. He's given you a chance to hear and believe this morning. So He's not sending you. You're making your choice. If today you came in, you don't believe, you hear the truth, Jesus is the only way, He's the narrow way, you've got to believe in Him to have eternal life, and you walk out of here walking through the wide gate, who is responsible? I don't think God has extended the offer. You may see that differently. People were the same in Noah's day. If this is you, you're in good company. It's been this way for a long time. Matthew 24, 38 and 39. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. They didn't have any fear. Noah had been preaching. Noah had been building a humongous boat, telling them, hey, God's going to send a flood. God's going to send a flood. God's going to send a flood. And they were like, come on, this guy's crazy. Until God sent a flood. And then all of a sudden, Noah's stock went way up. He wasn't a crazy guy no more. No fear. I'm fine. And keep doing what you're doing. If you don't believe destruction exists, as Jesus teaches us, you're never going to fear the wide gate. And you're never going to look for the narrow gate. Many are on the wide road because they don't believe it actually ends where Jesus says that it ends. You may not would believe that that wide gate doesn't go into the front pasture. But the fact that you don't believe it doesn't mean that it does. That wide gate does not go into the front pasture, no matter how much it looks like it does. And just like that wide gate that Jesus is talking about is never going to lead us to life, just like Jesus says. You can deny it, you can disagree with it, but if you want life, you're going to have to go through the narrow gate. But it's not only eternal destruction that's the problem. The wide gate and sin destroy things today too. Choosing the wide gate destroys our marriages, it destroys our families, it destroys our personal character, it destroys our peace, it destroys our purpose, it destroys our joy. If today you're one of these people that have, up until now, I hope today's the day that changes, but up till now, if you've been on the wide road, you've never walked through the narrow gate, and your life is just flipped upside down, and you're thinking, man, things are going terrible. My life is really just, this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening. You're not living a life of happenstance. Your luck is not bad. What you're living is you're living out the promise Jesus gave us. When we're on the wide road, it's destruction. And that destruction starts today. It's not just an eternal destruction, because that's the product of sin. That's what sin does. So ask yourself today, do I really take Jesus' warning seriously, or have I dismissed it? Have I dismissed the consequences of my unbelief in Jesus Christ? Am I ignoring the danger that Jesus promises because this road feels real comfortable and I got a lot of people around me and it's real easy? Don't be deceived by the comfort of the broad road. If we were on a road, have y'all ever been down a long driveway that you can't see the end of it, and you're kind of going through it, and you're driving along, got trees on the side? This is my driveway, so y'all get to live here. It's a gravel road. And you're just driving along and thinking, man, they really do live way out here. If that gravel road started with a wide gate, there's only one residence at the end of it. You know what it is? Destruction. Absolute destruction. And I don't want somebody to get to the end of that driveway and that's what they find. I want you to go through the narrow gate and experience the life along the way. And when you get to the end of that trail, see, he said it was narrow and difficult. But just like if you've ever been on a trail, a real tight trail, and then it opens up at the end, y'all ever been on one of those? Glory. That's what's at the end of that narrow road. Although it may be difficult to travel, maybe hard to walk along, you may be lonely along the way, but Jesus promises us if we'll stay true on that path, one day it'll open up and there'll be life at the end of it. Why do so few people find the narrow gate? Because they don't believe Jesus is the only way. Because the wide gate is easier and sometimes feels better. And because they don't believe destruction is real. Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. But in our simple passage today, Jesus could not be clearer. There are two gates, there are two roads, there are two destinations, and there is only one of them that leads to life, and that's the narrow gate, Jesus Christ. The ultimate question is, which gate are you trusting and walking through today? Don't choose the one you hope is right. Don't choose the one the crowd approves of. And don't choose the one that feels comfortable. Choose the one that Jesus says is right. Enter the narrow gate, Jesus, today. And if you want to do that, if you say, that's what I want to do, I want to enter the narrow gate. I came in here, I didn't know I was walking to the wide gate. Jesus has let me know that he's real. So it's a prayer right now. It's a prayer between you and Jesus. It's a prayer where you confess your sinfulness, you confess your unbelief, and you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior and to forgive you of your sins. That's how you walk through the narrow gate this morning. Amen? You don't have to come up here to do that. You can do that right where you're at. But I'm happy to help walk through anybody. If you want to walk through the narrow gate this morning and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'll be right down front. But metaphorically, I want to say this before I close. If you're a believer today, we're faced with the choices to walk through narrow gates and wide gates each and every day. And I think it will help us if we remember later today, tomorrow, and the rest of our lives that the only way for us to have life in every decision that we're going to make is to choose that narrow gate and choose what Jesus Christ would do. Otherwise, it's going to be destruction, whether now or eternal.